Running a Shopify store and drowning in shipping chaos? ShipStation can fix this for you. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels with advanced automation, batch processing, and shipping discounts that a single platform just doesn't offer. Like discounts up to 90% off major carriers. See how ShipStation can make shipping for your Shopify store better. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Come on.
Welcome to Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Grumbacher, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, the strong and powerful Ron Nakamoto. Ron, are you ready to do this?
Ready to go.
Excellent. Ron is the CEO of Empowered Wealth. He's working on shifting how people think about true wealth, gratitude, family leadership, legacy, and leverage in life. I'm excited to have you on. Ron, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Thank you, George. Was a financial advisor myself for many years, close to 30 years, and then retired. And then I don't know if you noticed this, but in 2008, there was this little blip in the economy. So that kind of threw me back into the work world. But I decided I wanted to do something a little bit different. So now I teach, train, and coach advisors.
Excellent. Okay. And Those five different areas that I touched on: true wealth, gratitude, family leadership, legacy, and leverage in life. Those are not small areas at all. Big things. So,
no.
Why don't we start and jump right in? Talk about true wealth. What you mean by that? How you help people to get there?
Okay, sure. Well, that really flows from a question that we ask people when you think about wealth. What do you think of? And, you know, most people would respond money and investments. And if they thought about a little bit more, kind of all the things that show up on a financial statement. So then the follow-up question is, well, what do you value more than all that? What do you value more than money? And that opens up the conversation. And when people think about that, there's usually sort of a big three that comes up. Family usually is number one. Then if they think about more, they'll say their health. And the third one is not always the case, but they'll say something like their beliefs or their values or their faith. And I've settled on faith as being a focus. And that typically gets the conversation going. So as it evolves, and we work with people over long periods of time, months, years, decades even, that deepens into a conversation about what is happiness about, what is fulfillment about, what is meaning about in life. And usually that evolves to a point where people see that money serves their greater happiness, their greater fulfillment, their greater meaning, rather than it all being about money.
Well, I think that is extremely valuable to have those conversations. When you're talking to somebody about that for the first time, perhaps, and I think that these are highly applicable no matter who it is that you're talking to.
Right.
Is it difficult to get people to start peeling the layers back, or?
I see where you're going with that, George. I think most of the time it's in the context of telling a story. So one of the things that I teach people is to tell a story that includes these elements. So we've got an actual story that we teach people, which is the story of our founder, the founder of our firm, and how he came upon these ideas. And that story has been, let's just say we've taken some artistic license with that story in order to have it match further what we now teach, so that it didn't evolve sequentially in quite the way we tell it now. So it's more of a parable than anything else, but it is a story about true wealth as we describe it, and it talks about how he sat next to a woman on an airplane and got into a conversation about what do you do and how do you do it and that sort of thing. And it ultimately involves describing wealth in four different areas, one being financial, another being what we call core, which is the which is family, health, and faith. And then there's a third, which we call experience, which is the learning, the knowledge, the know-how, and ultimately the wisdom and insight that comes from living a life fully. And then there's a fourth, which we call contribution, which is the joy and the experience of contributing to the well-being of others. And that in its totality is how we model true wealth.
Nice. What is at risk for people who don't step back and take a personal inventory and think about what's most important to me beyond just material possessions or money? If somebody doesn't do that and they don't pursue meaning, what would you say is at risk?
That's a good question, George. I what came to mind for me initially was that their sense of purpose in life. I think that, you know, I've had the good fortune of having a lot of money and then not having a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And the joke is, well, I've done both and I prefer having money.
Sure.
Which is, you know, I think everybody would answer that. But I think I can also say that I've had the experience of having money but being miserable. And or being delusional, which I think you know, our egos can do strange things to us. And at the end of one's life, I think that if you've suddenly realized that you didn't spend the time with your family and your friends, and you didn't do the things that were really important to you, and that you spent your time making money and making more money and accumulating more stuff, that can feel a little hollow. And I think that can lead to a life of regrets.
I think that might be it right there, is regret. And what an awful thing that is, to get to the end of a life and to feel regretful about the way that you lived it or how you allocated your resources and your time and your money.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a big question, but I mean, what's at risk for the individual is that, what's at risk for society? And I don't know that we're trying to solve that necessarily, but I mean, I think it's such an important thing. And I spend a lot of time talking to people about this, is that you need to clarify and crystallize what your personal values are, because that's the lens through which you're going to see the world, and you're going to view your personal success that way. And you're going to spend your time and your money based on those values. And if you're not being intentional about it, well, then you'll let society imprint its values on you. And today's society, I think, really just holds money and accumulation of it probably as one of the highest. And I don't think that's a healthy thing. And that's what we're talking about, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's great advice, George. I think that insight is that, you know, I think you have to live your deepest values. And, you know, a mentor of mine says to me that, you know, hey, what else is there really? You know, if you're not living it, if you're living, then you're living somebody else's life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So being intentional about that.
Yeah.
And I think that's all fine and well. So I think that... It's nice for people that are in a position to be able to have these conversations, but I think that so many Americans are fortunate enough to be able to sit back and say, okay, you know, I have a roof over my head, my family is healthy, I'm able to have these kinds of conversations not only internally but with my family as well. Mm-hmm. How does gratitude fit in?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, George, because I think that's even more fundamental than what we described previously as true wealth, because I think gratitude expands your awareness of what wealth is. In our view of gratitude, we've tried to parse it in a little more detail than I think most have. And I think when most people think of gratitude, they think, well, I appreciate this, I appreciate my family, my home, things like that. So it's really about you know, what benefits them, what they appreciate in that sense. We take it down to a more fundamental level, I believe, which is it begins with respect. And even more fundamental than that, it begins with self-respect. And I think that if you start at that level, you realize that much of your internal dialogue is not as respectful to oneself as it can be. I think if you have kind of a strong self-image, maybe that's not so. But I think all of us from time to time can beat ourselves up. And if you begin with self-respect, then you hold yourself up to a high standard of, I can be a good person. I can be generous in spirit. I can be loving and kind. I don't have to be mean-spirited like so much of society is. I don't have to be selfish. I can be different. And from there, then, appreciation for even the smallest things, I think, becomes much easier. And I always say to people, if you can appreciate the small things, you've immediately become wealthier. You may not have more money, but you become wealthier because it's that appreciation that is the hidden joy of life. And it's that joy of life that's the starting point for greater insight, greater development, greater self-knowledge, if you will. And ultimately, it leads to becoming a more generous person. And that's, if you think back when I was talking about true wealth, I talked about contribution and the joy of contributing to the well-being of others. I think that's the highest form of gratitude, which is generosity.
Well, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I had we've all been on an airplane before, and we know that we need to make sure that our oxygen mask is safely secured before we help other people. Is that sort of what you're talking about? Make sure that you have self-respect. But is it that you make sure that you like and value yourself, or am I looking too deep into that?
No. I think you're right on that. I think if you have self-respect, a deep self-respect, then you realize that you owe it to yourself and to those closest to you to be the best you can be. In all ways, in all facets, in terms, especially from a moral, ethical standpoint, but also from the standpoint of kind of your personal capabilities of realizing your potential as a human being. I think you realize that I think we all know deep in our hearts that we can do better, that we can be better, a better version of ourselves. And, you know, what's our motivation to do that? I think, you know, if you're looking for external motivation for that, well, I guess you could say you can make more money or get more achievement or more recognition. But in the long run, it's my belief that those can be the word that came to mind is shallow. I don't mean to be judgmental about it, but they could be ephemeral, let's say. They could be transitory. I think for deep meaning to occur, you do it for intrinsic reasons, because in part that's your purpose, is to be the best you can be for the benefit of others, really, and yourself, sure. And if I may, and I know you, and I'm sorry to interrupt
you.
No, it's
okay.
No, I apologize for that. But I think that's, you know, I'll just mention one, a third element that we focus on, which is leadership. And one of our first principle of leadership is to lead yourself. And, you know, that's the tie-in, you know, being the best you can be. If you can lead yourself well, then you put yourself in position to lead by example, which is the strongest form of leadership.
Totally agree. One of the major problems that I think that as a society that we need to get in front of is how few of us actually like the work that we're doing. And so that number gets smaller and smaller with the people that actually find meaning in their work.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that we're talking about, of having a sense of self-respect and and becoming the best possible version of ourselves, I almost feel like that's a non-starter. So how would you counsel people? Is it a matter of changing people's perspective on the work that we're on the work that they're doing? If somebody feels like they're not necessarily having a great impact, they're just going through the motions.
Well, let me take a stab at that, George. As I understand your question, I think financial advisors have a great opportunity and a great privilege to work with other people and to help people. And historically, I started when, computations were done on a calculator. So that maybe dates me. But nowadays with robo-advice, a lot of what advisors typically provided, which was their value add, is free. You know, people can find it online and they can get it for free. And I think that part of the business is commoditized, but it opens up the opportunity for relationships to be the key and to develop that intimacy and to transcend your own ego and be of service to other people. And I think that role, that opportunity is evergreen. I believe that kind of the nature of artificial intelligence is that the human element is going to be difficult to replace and certainly difficult to program in a computer. But I think that advisors, because they have an opportunity to meet regularly with clients, and they have an opportunity, if they choose to get to know clients and to be facilitators in clients' lives, to facilitate a client's own self-discovery and their own realization of what it is that matters to them, I think advisors are in an ideal position to help other people.
I like it. There's one of my favorite words is arete, and there's not necessarily an English equivalent to it other than virtue, and it means that what I can be, I must be. And talking about being the best possible version of yourself, and what is it that motivates you to keep doing that and to keep driving there? And I think it almost has to be an internal thing versus an external thing, which is everything that you've been talking about. For somebody that is in the discovery process of this, you're helping them along this process. How do you coach them to finally get to that point of realizing this is really what my main drivers are? This is why I get up early in the morning and do things that necessarily I don't like necessarily, but it's serving the greater purpose of what I'm trying to accomplish.
It begins with gratitude. So we start with gratitude. We start with the realization that we live in a world where there's a lot of uncertainty, there's a lot of complexity, and there aren't good role models, there's a lot of chaos in the world. And so what can we do to counter that? It's mostly between our ears. It's mostly our mindset. And that begins with gratitude. And then if you see the world through the lens of gratitude and true wealth, and accept the challenge of leadership, which, I always say to people, if not you, then who? If you accept that, then I think you're well on your way. And you don't necessarily need me or our training. There are plenty of people that are shining a light on the paths that are out there. We have our own version of it. And, we've had good success with the people we've worked with. But I think it's a transition from, greed and selfishness to seeing that the greatest joys and the greatest opportunities are to be working with other people and helping them and making the world a better place.
I love it. I think that is great. Well, Ron, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
Begin in gratitude.
Again, that is great stuff. That definitely gets come on.
Come on.
And Ron, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you?
Website, empoweredwealth.com. Email me, ron@empoweredwealth.com. But George, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to talk about my work. So I appreciate it very much, and best wishes to you.
Well, I appreciate that. At Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Ron your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to empoweredwealth.com. You can reach out to him via email as well. I definitely encourage you to do that. Thank you again, Ron.
Thank you, George. Have a great day.
Thank you. And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we are all in this together.
What's up, Savage Nation? Please support the show by subscribing, leave us a review, and definitely feel free to share us with somebody you think would like it.
Come on!
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Google Gemini's Pro Plan free for 1 year. And use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there, because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more, and sign up. Terms apply.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.